This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford. In studio with me, Bridget Ayer. And this time around, we get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, 40 Days for Life here in Indianapolis.
Yes.
We've got a couple of guests with us to bring us up to date on 40 Days for Life, First Choice for Women, the Gabriel Project, all kinds of pro-life issues going into and spending time in this Lenten season.
Yes, and it was really interesting. We prayed before the show, which we do every show, and these women are really prayer warriors because they were really solid prayers. I was very impressed with that. So you have to be if you're on the front lines of the pro-life movement. So in the studio today, we have our co-chairs of the 40 Days for Life in Indianapolis, Deborah Minot and Cheryl Dye. Thank you so much for being my guest today at Faith in Action.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So people tuning in, the 40 Days for Life has been around for a while, but for people who may not know what it is, let's see, Deborah, do you want to take this one?
Sure.
What is the 40 Days for Life?
Sure. So 40 Days for Life is an international campaign that's conducted twice a year, once in the spring during Lent, and then again in the fall. And it is a peaceful prayer vigil. The idea is that by praying outside of abortion clinics, we bring powerful prayers to God because there's an element of sacrifice as well in standing out outside these abortion clinics, and that we will ultimately bring an end to abortion in this country.
So, Cheryl, how did you get involved with this?
Well, I have been with 40 Days for Life for about 10 years now.
Okay.
I think I started the second campaign we had. And I was really newly to the pro-life movement.
Okay.
And was looking for some ways to help with that. And a friend invited me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, the first time I went, I was scared to death. I had all sorts of images going through my head, and none of them were good.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found out there during that prayer time was peace and empowerment, that I found that the prayers I made out there made a difference, and that it was changing the people around and really the city with it. So
how did you get involved, Deborah?
Well, I only got involved about 3 years ago, and it was at the time that I retired from a very demanding career, and I really undertook a time of intense prayer to discern, where did God now want me to use my energies? And he brought me to the pro-life movement, which caused me to then train to be a sidewalk counselor and to start coming out to the 40 Days for Life prayer vigil simply to participate as a prayer warrior.
And I really want, we'll get into talking about the being a sidewalk counselor and what's involved with that, because I did not do that myself, but I did go to the abortion centers for a long time with a friend of mine and pray, and I was terrified too the first time I went, because you have all these ideas. But talk, I want each of you to talk a little bit about yourselves, what parish you're from and what you do maybe at the parish, and then we'll talk some more about 40 Days for Life.
I am with St. John's Evangelist downtown.
Okay.
And I've been there about 4 years now, and currently I'm their pro-life sanctity of life chairman for
okay.
that committee,
and
that's
then
great. Also the vigil coordinator for 40 Days for Life, because it just ties in nicely.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And Deborah, what about you?
I'm a member of St. Maria Goretti Parish in Westfield.
Okay.
I am not, I'm a member of the Respect Life Ministry. I do not lead it there. But as I said earlier, I'm very involved in sidewalk counseling. I've recently become engaged with the Susan B. Anthony List. And in essence, I try to devote my spare time to pro-life advocacy.
Okay, so if you're just joining us right now, we are talking about the 40 Days for Life Indianapolis. I'm with the co-chairs of the event, Deborah Minot and Cheryl Dye. And what actually happens at the event? I mean, I've seen the sign-up genius before. I think I've signed up before. And This goes on for a long time, right? 40 days, right?
It does.
And is it all day, and where does this take place?
Okay, so first of all, this takes place at the primary Planned Parenthood facility here in the state, which is on Georgetown Road, just south of 86th Street.
Okay.
That is the location here in the city where they perform abortions, over 3,000 a year. The vigil is operational from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day except Sunday. On Sunday, we start at noon, and then it runs till 7 p.m. So we have a local website called 40 Days Indy. So that's 40daysindy.org.
Okay.
That really becomes a landing page to click and take you to the national site where you find our calendar. And then you register for the site, and that gives you the access to go on the calendar and specifically sign up for prayer times.
I'm glad you walked us through that, because I'm not very IT savvy. And sometimes you get a web page and you're just like, now what do I do? And you're looking around, you're not sure what to do. So when people come to this event, I mean, describe what takes place.
Well, it's really very individualized.
Okay.
I mean, you, as I said, you sign up for an hour. And sometimes there may be only one or two other people with you. You may know them, you may not. Other times groups come, but it's really very personal prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us Catholics say the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
Others come with Bibles or other devotions that they say. There is a sidewalk, which was only recently installed there within like the last 2 years. So some walk back and forth on the sidewalk. Others sometimes bring a rug and kneel, but it's totally up to you and how you want to spend that time in prayer.
So is it okay to bring like your kids to pray? I mean, do you see kids there, or kids groups come and pray? Talk about that.
Kids are a wonderful witness out there, and it's definitely okay. We do allow it to the discretion of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
and what they're comfortable with. But they are a wonderful witness, particularly for those driving by and those driving into the facility. And we find that sometimes they're the most fervent prayers, that they really get into it and do the prayers. We have signs there that are very peaceful. Pray to end abortion, honk if you're pro-life. The kids love that one.
Mm-hmm. Get a lot of people
right,
honking.
Right, so... So yes, we find them to be a great witness.
I think, you know, a lot of times people have maybe the wrong impression of, you know, people in the pro-life movement. I mean, I watch, when I work out, I watch all sorts of secular media, all channels, because I think it's important to be informed. And it's just really interesting to see what is really being mm-hmm. done, having been a reporter in ministry and Catholic channels or Catholic venues, and to what's really being reported in the secular press, and they're not the same. The key is the peaceful prayer. Talk about that. I mean, I think if people actually saw what went on there, they would be mm-hmm. surprised by it not matching up with what's kind of being reported sometimes. Talk about the peaceful prayer aspect of that.
Yeah, I know when I first went, I had those images in my mind, too. People would be yelling at
mm-hmm.
me, or people would be shouting at, you know, the women going in, or there'd be pictures everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not at all what 40 Days is about. It is when you go onto the website and you register, you click or acknowledge a peaceful statement that
mm-hmm.
you will be peaceful, no shouting, no yelling, no graphic signs out there.
So a code of conduct, basically.
Right. There's a code of conduct for it. And it really, like I said before, I found peace and empowerment out there. On the rare occasion, there may be other groups that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So the same rights that give us the right to be out there and pray also allow them. But for 40 days, it's a very peaceful, prayerful time.
And what kind of impact, you know, what kind of impact does this have on the various people that you encounter? I mean, it could be the community, it could be security officers, it could be, you know, people, women in crisis pregnancy going in. What kind of impact, and yourselves, you know, what kind of impact has it had?
Well, you're right, Bridget.
And you can talk about any one of those.
it does have impacts across the board. I'll start with the ones that we're most aware of. Because as sidewalk counselors, being there all year round on certain days of the week, we know what is a typical number of saves, in other words, babies that we know are going to be born, and hopeful situations where we were able to divert a pregnant mom to seek other help, but we don't know what her final decision is.
Mm-hmm.
We know what those are. And sadly, those usually are, you know, 1 to 3 mm-hmm. per month.
Mm-hmm.
During 40 days, that increases exponentially. And just by way of example, during the fall campaign, we had 8 hopefuls. And that was just a little over a month's time. So it really was more than 3 times what we normally would see. Mm-hmm. So
that's
we know.
That's amazing. Yes. What do you think it is? Do you think it's the prayer? Do you think it's the presence? Do you think it's...
I think they go very much hand in hand. And that's something that we try to make clear to people who want to participate. You know, it is one thing to say, I'm going to pray from home. And certainly all prayer is important. But having that presence, I mean, that's what people see when they drive in. Even though they may not stop and they do go in and keep their appointment at Planned Parenthood, how can they not be struck when they see a group of 8 people and maybe 2 small babies in cold, maybe not very nice weather out there praying? It is so powerful.
And you know, the other aspect might be, let's say you are a young woman in a crisis pregnancy and you feel alone, and you come there and you see people that they're praying, and that might be an encouragement.
Yes.
To them.
Yes.
Think, well, maybe I'm not alone.
Yeah. We had just last week one of our sidewalk counselors. So she went in, did not stop and talk to the counselor at all. But about a half hour later after that, came out and said, you know what? I changed my mind. I saw you out here. I knew what was going on, and I couldn't go through with it. So that presence, just them out there praying, made the difference for that woman. And one of the great things about 40 days, we really only have sidewalk counselors there in the mornings,
okay,
the heavy time when people are coming in. But people are coming in all day long. And so 40 days, just that presence of people praying there gets the women coming in thinking.
The duration of it is what?
From Ash Wednesday,
okay,
so February 14th,
okay,
to Palm Sunday, March 25th.
Okay, we should have said that at the beginning of the show, right. So now we know the dates.
Well,
I think we're getting close to a break here, so we'll be back to talk some more about the 40 Days for Life in just a moment.
The Great Lakes Gabriel Project is an ever-growing Christian-based network of church volunteers standing together in their commitment to offer assistance to women and families facing difficult or unplanned pregnancies.
I'm Eileen Hartman with Great Lakes Gabriel Project. If you're interested in volunteering to help this life-affirming effort, please go to our website, goangels.org, for more information.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford along with Bridget Ayer. Our guests today, Deborah Minot and Cheryl Dye with the 40 Days for Life campaign here in Indianapolis. 40 Days for Life is a peaceful prayer campaign that over the past few years has actually kept track. They are now counting saves during the 40 Days for Life campaigns into the thousands.
That's really amazing when you think about it. And we were just talking about, you know, how prayer and presence really does make an impact. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. And the other thing we were talking about just on the break, that being pro-life philosophically is one thing. But now we're really set up in a much better way, I think, those in the pro-life movement to really provide an alternative service, not just a theology or a philosophy of we're pro-life, but that's what we're going to talk about in the second segment. We're going to talk about the Gabriel Project and the First Choice for Women, which are just two aspects of helping women in a crisis pregnancy. So where should we start here? Who wants to? Let's talk about the Gabriel Project.
Okay, I'll go.
Cheryl?
We are very blessed. Our sponsors for 40 days is the Gabriel Project. So the Gabriel Project began right after Roe v. Wade started back in Texas. It was a priest who, after that decision, decided he wanted to help more, put a sign outside his parish that said, you know, if you're pregnant and in need, we have what you need. And in the 1990s, that expanded, and now there's Gabriel Projects in over half the states and most of the dioceses in those states that have them.
So how does the Gabriel Project actually help women in a crisis pregnancy?
So here in Indiana, we have the Great Lakes Gabriel Project, and they have several different ways. What they do is work with the parishes, and they develop Gabriel angels. So when the Gabriel Project gets a mom that's in need of help, they're assigned to a nearby parish and an angel there. And then that angel is kind of that mom's mentor, that mom's helper. If she needs to go to doctor's appointments, if she needs help navigating the social service system, if she needs help with baby food or parenting skills, things like that.
And then baby clothes,
diapers,
prenatal, you name it.
Getting set up with doctors, particularly pro-life doctors. And then the parish is their kind of backup resource, so helps with providing the money, or the angel can go to the parish for help with the rides or anything else. And
it's probably nice to have that angel to really support them all the way through, because if you're anyone, I mean, we're all women here. I have three children myself, and going through having a baby, even in the best of circumstances, it's really hard, you know?
And for most of these women, it's a crisis. They're constantly up and down and second-guessing and navigating, and so it's good to have someone to talk to just to process through all of that.
Yep, so it's an emotional support as well as everything that they need. They're the point of contact.
Yeah, and we've helped moms with interview skills, writing resumes, finding jobs, getting used cars, getting cars fixed so that they can get to work. So really, the angels and the parishes do whatever that mom needs.
That is really amazing. And what is the First Choice for Women? What is that?
So that's the pregnancy center aspect of it. When we are out, when the sidewalk counselors are out counseling, there's a brochure that we give to the women. And the number on that, they can then call. So if we don't set them up at that time, they have that information for later if they want to use it. And they can go there for a free ultrasound, free pregnancy test, to talk with someone through their options. First Choice for Women also runs the Gabriel Mobile.
Yeah, talk about that. Now, this is new to me.
Well, so the Gabriel Project actually has an RV that is equipped with a very nice, updated ultrasound machine and staffed by volunteer nurses. So the van will travel around, and it is actually stationed a couple of times a week at existing abortion facilities here in the city, but it also can make arrangements to go to particular places at particular times to meet a woman who really needs to have an ultrasound and needs to basically have that one-on-one contact with a nurse.
And you mentioned that you are both sidewalk counselors. Talk about the training that you had for that. How do you do that, and what's it like, and what do you do exactly?
Well, the training that each of us had...
is this through the Gabriel Project, kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
Was training that was really training your heart, but not necessarily training your head. And so Cheryl and I actually brought in another national program called Sidewalk Advocates for Life, okay. which has a much more systematic program. I mean, it's definitely important to know that you've trained your heart, but it also gives comfort to people as they stand on the sidewalk to understand, okay, these are the kinds of situations that you're going to face. Let's think through what are the kinds of things you might want to say. You never know exactly what you're going to say. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. But it is helpful to really go through those scenarios. So now we have a wonderful full day of training that we do using the Sidewalk Advocates material.
So what is that like? Like describe
training?
The actual sign. You can talk about the training. You can talk about both, but I want to hear the actual interactions.
Is
it terrifying?
No, it's not terrifying. It's always an adventure when you go out there, and you really never know what you're going to come up with.
What God has in store, right?
Exactly. I remember the first time I sidewalk counseled, and the first time I stepped out, and I had been watching for a couple hours the other counselors that I was with, and a man was turning in from the left, so we had to wait, and he starts yelling at me, "Are you talking to women about what's going on there?" And I almost walked back. No, I don't want to do this. He comes in, and he says, "Are you talking to women about what's going on in there?" And I started to say, "Well, we're here to let women know the help that's out there for him." And thinking he's going to be mad at me, and he said, "God bless you."
Wow.
And, I mean, my mouth dropped. But it was such a sign for me of he had had a daughter who had had an abortion 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "No one told me I would have helped her. The pain that she went through afterwards, and he didn't know for the longest time.
What was going on,
right.
why she was upset.
What it was.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I always remember that man because the pure pain, I mean, he's a big burly man bawling there, and the pain that he felt, and that abortion affects everyone.
Right.
Around you. It may be a woman's choice, you can say that, but you are affecting everyone around you.
Yeah, the domino effect.
Right. So
what about for you, Deborah? What's it been like to do the sidewalk counseling?
I had an excellent trainer, and that was Cheryl. So after we went through the classroom training,
got the real training, right?
Exactly. I stood outside next to Cheryl for several months before I started approaching cars myself. I've had some moments where it just broke my heart because I could see that a woman was really struggling, and I just continued to pray. But you know, when they go in, you don't know, but you don't have a good feeling when they decide to enter the facility. And I've had moments of the most great elation when I do know that a baby has been saved. But apart from those, and this kind of ties to what Cheryl was saying, so many times when we're standing there on the sidewalk, random people will stop. They are not intending to go into Planned Parenthood. And there was a time about a year ago, Cheryl and I were both out on a Wednesday, and a woman stopped and told us that it was so good we were there because she had had an abortion like 12 years ago. And we were the first people she'd ever admitted to that she'd actually had an abortion. And she was crying. I mean, you could see the pain that was still there. It was a day that I absolutely will never forget.
So in addition to that, is there anything, are there other stories that really stick out in your mind in terms of your experiences there?
I had a young lady who came in, and this is very common that we're, at least I'm seeing more and more. She came in and her doctor had advised her for an abortion. "I'm too sick, my body can't handle it, my doctor is so mad, I'm pregnant again, I have to have this." And I talked with her for a long, long time, and she was early in her pregnancy, and I said, "Let's get a second opinion. Find out what's going on. Find out what you can do." Because you could tell she was so conflicted with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we took her over next door to Planned Parenthood as the Women's Care Center.
Mm-hmm.
Took her over there. They were able to get her in that day. And I don't, oftentimes when they go to women's care, we don't know what happens afterwards. They have their confidentiality issues and
sure.
Things. So, but she stopped by the next week and she was so cute. She drives up and she's going, hey, and she's waving her hand at me and she pulls into the driveway right next to us, and she gets out of her car and she comes running over, and she's so quick she tripped and fell. And
oh,
she
no.
goes, I just had to let you know. She goes, I am keeping this baby, and I got the, they gave me the best doctor, and he can work through everything. And she, just the happiness on her face, and where she was so many people have been telling her, this is what you have to do. You know, this is the best thing for you. And yet it wasn't. She felt it. She felt the pain even beforehand and just the elation she had afterwards.
So you want people to come out and pray.
Absolutely.
How do they do that again?
All right. So you go to the 40daysindy.org. That's 40daysindy.org. And simply click on the button that says sign up to pray. And then that will take you to the national page where you will either log in if you've previously prayed and have already registered, or you will register as a new participant. It's very easy to do. And then you can go to the calendar and pick the day and time, hopefully multiple days and times
yeah.
that are going to be convenient for you, and just put in your name. And, you know, things do change, and if something comes up and you can't do that, you can go right back in and delete your name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really helpful to have that calendar so that we know, do we have an hour that is not covered? Because then we need to try to find people to go out. So we really, really stress the importance of using that electronic calendar.
And if you're looking for something to do for Lent, this is a perfect Absolutely. Opportunity. You can pray. You can be a witness. You can get closer to God. You Yes. Help out someone else.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
And we always want two people there at least. Mm-hmm. So you should not be out there alone to know that there'll be someone there with you.
Isn't that what Jesus did and the apostles? Didn't they send out the apostles?
Two by two. Right.
I think that's
right.
a good pattern, right?
Right.
Well, thank you so much. We've had Deborah Minot and Cheryl Dye, the co-chairs of the 40 Days for Life Indianapolis. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having
us. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
God bless. We'll be praying with you and for you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.